Please take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 9 for our morning scripture. You'll note in your bulletin that now that we have our new Bibles, I'm able to print the page of the Bible for you, which is something we could not do until now. So if you need a little help finding Daniel, you can find this on page 1032 of your pew Bible. We are still studying Joel, but we're taking a detour for 1 week to see an example of something. But let's read the scriptures. Daniel chapter 9, I'm going to read 19 verses. This is the word of the Lord. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the lineage of the Medes, who was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make request by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgments. Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings and our princes, to our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to you, but to us shame of face, as it is this day, to the men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which you have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they've committed against you. O Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, our princes, and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God, to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and has departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have been poured out on us because we have sinned against him. And he has confirmed his words, which he spoke against us and against our judges who judged us, by bringing upon us a great disaster. For under the whole heaven, such has never been done as what has been done to Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. Therefore the Lord has kept the disaster in mind and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all the works which he does, though we have not obeyed his voice. And now, O Lord our God, who brought your people out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand and made yourself a name as it is this day, we have sinned, we have done wickedly. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and your people are a reproach to all those around us. Now therefore, O God, hear the prayer of your servant and his supplications, and for the Lord's sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations in the city which is called by your name. For we do not present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds, but because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, my God, for your city and your people are called by your name. Amen. Now, in my personal reading this week, I came to this ninth chapter of Daniel, and I immediately recognized how appropriate it is to what we've been talking about. Now, those of you who are visiting today, you're kind of coming in the middle of things, and I hope that the Spirit of God will give you a good sense of what we've been doing for the last couple of weeks, but I don't kind of have time to begin at the beginning other than to say this, and maybe this will refresh your memory, those of you who have maybe been absent. That the Christian's role in the world, remember, the church's role is to be speaking prophetically out into the world. We need to be saying the words of God, all the words of God, not just the ones that are easy to listen to or soft on the ear. We need to say the words of God that are more uncomfortable as well. Okay? And the message of God, in brief, is this, that his kingdom is coming. It's soon to come. Therefore, repent. Okay? That's God's message to mankind in a nutshell. His kingdom is coming. Therefore, repent. Make a turnabout. Change. Leave off your sinful ways and your evil thoughts. Return to the Lord your Creator, the one who made you, who gives you life, who gives you breath, who's given you every good thing that you've ever had. Believe him when he tells you that there's going to be a judgment, and that judgment is going to be completely fair and just. Believe him when he tells you that because it's going to be totally fair and just, that you will not be able to stand in your own righteousness and your own goodness on that day, and whoever tries to do so is going to be convicted. Believe him when he tells you that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, underwent judgment already for you. Amen. He took the judgment against your sin. He surrendered his life for you. There is a way to receive mercy even though you are guilty. Okay, simply believe God and he will save you. Now, Christians, this is our job. Okay, this is what we are to be speaking. We are to be speaking God's words. We're to be standing in the shoes of the prophets and saying the prophetic word out into the world, because this is the word that saves. These words awaken, they warn, they correct, they point the right way, and they lead to life. This is immortality. However, we are going to do a very poor job of fulfilling our prophetical role unless we first ourselves take heed to the prophetic word ourselves. Okay? We are going to be fruitless. We're going to be hypocrites. We're going to flounder around in uselessness and just in the doldrums of a Christian walk unless we ourselves have responded and redirected our own lives and begun to live lives of obedience. Okay, Paul says in Romans chapter 1, the obedience that comes from believing. If you believe, then you will obey. Okay, now, so if you're visiting now, you've been caught up. Now, speaking of the prophetic word, we started in the book of Joel, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago, and the last 2 weeks, I have strongly encouraged you, saints, to take some personal steps to respond to the prophetic word. I ask you to deliberately, punch out a space in your routine, break out some space and elbow other things aside and sit before the Lord and with a pad and paper and consider the troubles and the calamities and so on that have come into your life, not just personal ones, but larger scale ones too. Things that have caused you pain and do cause you pain, some past, some present. Okay? And I wanted you to list a couple of those, and I wanted you to consider, how have you responded to them? Okay? How have you responded? Did you get angry at God, or did you get angry at the world, or did you respond by doing something totally stupid and self-destructive? Did you just collapse in self-pity? Did you just give up on life and kind of spiral down into depression? Just various ways that people respond to something negative that happens in life. So, I don't know, think of one. Your girlfriend rejected you, and so you went down to the bar and you got loaded and you went out and hooked up with another girl just to show her, I'll show you who needs who. Okay, that's something that may have happened sometime in your life. Maybe if you're a farmer and you had two seasons in a row where there was just a terrible drought and you lost all kinds of money, you lost the whole crop. Okay, what could you have done? Well, maybe you shrugged your shoulders and said, that's the perils of being a farmer. That kind of thing doesn't have anything to do with God. That kind of thing just happens sometime. It's random. Or maybe you got really angry at God and said, don't you know I'm faithful to you? How about some rain? This bad economy that we're in, okay, this is not something that's personal to you. Okay, it's something that has happened. We're all kind of in the same boat together. How are we reacting to this, other than just to observe that there is one? Is it by placing blame? Like, oh, we'll blame the Democrats, we'll blame Bush, we'll blame the Mexicans, we'll blame Wall Street. You know, surely this is somebody's fault, okay? But it's somebody's fault. I'm the victim here. Okay, now, having looked at Joel, at least just for a couple of weeks, do you think maybe Joel would have us respond, would he tell the Christian church that there's more to this than just finding out who's to blame? Okay, maybe there's somebody to blame, but maybe there's more to it than just finding who's to blame. Maybe your thing is you have a rebellious child or a marriage that's full of friction. That's not a sudden calamity like the thing we're talking about in Joel, the locust plague. Okay, that's an ongoing, sort of a long-lasting burden. How are you responding to that? By doing something self-destructive? Something that we often tend to do when we're in a bad relationship is to kind of shut down the relationship and withdraw and sort of put up a force field around yourself so that you won't get hurt. You know, I'm darned if I'm going to let this person hurt me again. You know, those of you who may know Pink Floyd's album The Wall, right? You know, who knows The Wall? Anybody? You know, you may think that's good rock music. It's been around for close to 40 years now. Okay. But that's what that's about. It's, I am darned if I'm going to let anybody ever hurt me again. I'm not going to love again. I'm darned if I'm going to trust anybody again. I will know no compassion, no warmth, no vulnerability. I'm just going to shut everybody out, shut it all down, and I'm not going to let anybody get close to me because I'm not going to get hurt again. So if that means drugs, fine. If that means isolation, fine. As long as I am, and the song says, comfortably numb. As long as I am comfortably numb, but you're not going to hurt me, and you're not going to tell me what to do. Hey, this may be a little outdated now, but I think that album now is speaking to a third generation of young people who are finding a common voice. They're finding something, that's what they feel, that's what they respond to, and they welcome that message with open arms. That is exactly what I'm feeling. My life is so full of pain that all I want to do is, the only way I'm going to survive is by isolating myself. So don't come near me. Well, anyway, what I've asked you to do then in the last couple of weeks is observe your own past and your own present. Okay? Just, can you take an impartial look at yourself and say, how have I reacted to these negative events? If you haven't done it now, after I've kind of asked you twice, you know, please don't make me exasperated. This is part of being a disciple. This is part of your walk with Jesus Christ. If God is your friend, and He is your friend, then be frank with Him. Be very honest and forthcoming with Him. No, I haven't responded in the way that you want me to respond. And if God is your Lord, and He is that too, then yield to Him. Okay, let the Lord teach you, let Him search you, let Him change you. Hey, I'm asking you Christians to deepen your relationship with your Savior. This is the one who has bought you with His own blood. So stop holding Him at arm's length. Make that space, make that time, and go sit before Him and be honest. Hey, the scripture says the Spirit of God searches all things, even the deep things of God. If you belong to Christ and the Spirit of God has been given to you, then by all means, don't resist Him. Don't be repelled by the thought of spending an hour in silence, in prayer, by yourself. You should be flying to God. You should be saying, search me and know my heart and see if there's any wicked way in me. And let's just be very frank and honest. I don't want to hide any corner of my life from you. Don't let me bury this away from you. Let me just lay it there. And then, okay, Lord, wash me and tell me the right way to go. Okay, so this prayer that we've just read in Daniel chapter 9, I want to show you this week, is the right way. Okay, this is an example of someone who has turned to the Lord with weeping. And this prayer has a lot for us that's very helpful as you and I, and as we collectively, my brothers and sisters, seek out the blessing of God as we endeavor to call upon Him for a restoration of his goodness. Okay? In Joel 2:12, I don't want you to turn there, but remember the verse that says, "Now therefore, my people, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning." Okay, so we have here in this chapter someone who has done this. Now, if you know Daniel, you wouldn't think that of all the people in the Bible, that Daniel would be the one who would have to do this, right? Daniel is a saint of saints. He is a good man. He's a model believer. He's been a steadfast servant of the Lord ever since his youth, right? All his life, even when he was a young man, he would not defile himself with the king of Babylon's food. He and his friends didn't bow down to the golden statue. Okay, he is God's man in high places. He's interpreted dreams. God has given him visions. God has spoken truth to power more than once through him. Okay, but look at what Daniel does and what he does anyway. Okay, even though he's a saint of saints, we would say, he's one of the heroes of the Old Testament. Look at where his heart is. Okay, just like Joel said, even you priests who minister before the altar of the Lord, let them weep before the porch and the altar. Even these people who you would think their spiritual lives are in good order, they too are called to humble themselves and clothe themselves with sackcloth and lie face down before the Lord and mourn. And as Daniel says, make confession. Okay, verse 4, he says, "I made confession." He implored God to have mercy. Okay, now remember where Joel is and where Daniel is. Joel is looking ahead. He's prophesying things to come. "My people, if you don't return to the Lord, if you don't forsake your evil ways, if you don't repent and search your hearts and lay it bare before God, then the day of the Lord will come." Okay? Daniel, on the other hand, is looking back on it after it has come, because the people didn't listen to Joel. So now Daniel is looking, he's much farther down in history. He's looking back and he's saying, "Oh Lord, now that it has come," okay? God said he would. He says it in verse 12, chapter 9, verse 12, Daniel. God has confirmed his words. He said he was going to do it, and he did it. Because God is not mocked, and the people of Israel reaped what they sowed. Okay, well, I just want you to see some things in Daniel here in our remaining time. I want you to see some things about his words and what his words imply that for us need to sink in. Okay? These things need to characterize our own walk with the Lord Jesus. And if they don't, just know, my friends, that the Lord God is calling you to make it so that they do. Okay, what the things we ought to see, we want Daniel to be our model for today. The things we see about him, we want to imitate and aim at them for ourselves. So I have six things. Okay, the first one is there in verse 2. Daniel studies the word of God. Okay, right? If that's not so for you, it needs to be so. Daniel studies the word of God. And you can see it in verse 2 where he says, "I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah." He's reading Jeremiah. You should be too. And you should read all the other 65 books as well. Okay? That he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Okay? And if you're using your Pew Bible, this is a fancy feature. It's really great. It tells you the reference right there. Jeremiah 25, 11, and 12. Okay? It's a very handy thing that we have here. And those verses say, "This whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment." Jeremiah 2, looking forward, saying this is going to happen if you don't. Okay, "This whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. Then it will come to pass when the 70 years are complete that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, the land of the Chaldeans, for their iniquity, says the Lord, and I will make that city a perpetual desolation." Okay, and so the fulfillment of that is here in the timestamp that's in chapter 9 and verse 1. Okay, Daniel says, in the first year of Darius. Darius is the man who came in and conquered Babylon. Okay, so Daniel realized, because he's been studying the Bible, he's been reading the scriptures, he says, "Well, look, this is just what God said he was going to do in the book of Jeremiah, and now he's done it. God said, I'm going to turn you people, you are my people, I'm going to turn you over to your enemies for 70 years, and then I'm going to turn them over to their enemies. And Daniel says, whoa, this is right in the Bible. Okay? And that's how it happened. You can see it back in chapter 5, where King Belshazzar was killed, and Darius, this man Darius the Mede, he takes charge. Now that tells you something important. And then for those of you who don't read your Bible very often, this tells you something very crucial, and that is that the Word of God is understandable. It's meant to be understandable. If you read the Word of God, and if you search it, and if you ask for understanding, God will give it to you. He will give you understanding. He has graciously given us this written revelation of His mind and of His will that's comprehensible. Okay? We're not supposed to go, we don't have to know how to read the stars. We don't have to ask the trees. We don't have to search at the bottom of the ocean to find things out about God. He's made it easy for us by giving us this written word in plain language. Okay? And so I think quite reasonably, He expects us to use it. It's a gift. And if we don't use it, we're without excuse. Okay? The scriptures are not meant to be impenetrable and mysterious and hard to interpret. Simply seek the Lord and you will find, because His word is understandable. Okay, so that's one. Daniel reads the Bible. Number two, Daniel believes what he reads. Okay? Believe what you read. If it's in the book, it's true. It's impossible for God to lie. He can't lie. Okay? Daniel believes that God is going to perform what He says. When He says He's going to do something, He does do it. He doesn't make any empty threats. He doesn't make any promises and then not follow up on keeping them. Okay, so when Daniel sees that God said it would be 70 years, he's looking at his calendar. He says, hey, the 70 years are up. He knows he can go right to the Lord and present his petition. God, this is what your word says. Now we too read the Bible. Do we believe what it says? If we believe what it says, then we believe that Christ is coming back to this planet. Okay? If we believe what we read, then we believe that Christ is going to put our works to the test. He's going to examine our lives, whether they were good or worthless. Okay? Don't we believe that Christ is going to question us about our marriages? Don't we believe that He's going to question us about our parenting or about our obedience to our parents or about our character, about our love for each other? Isn't He going to question us about the talents and the meanness that He's entrusted to? Okay, if we believe the things we read, that should lead us to number three. Daniel acted on the Word of God. Okay, Daniel reads the Bible. Daniel believes what he reads. Daniel acts on the Word of God by personal, physical actions. God's word says pray, Daniel prays. God's word says fast, Daniel fasts. God's word says sackcloth and ashes, get on your knees, humble yourself, and pray toward this place. Okay, that's what Solomon said when he dedicated the temple. When your people pray toward this place. So Daniel has a window that looks right towards Jerusalem. I'm going to pray toward that place. Oh, there it is right there in your pew Bible, right at the end of verse 5. You see where the note says 1 Kings 8:47 and 48? We just read that a couple of weeks ago. It says, when they come to themselves in the land where they were carried captive, and when they repent and make supplication to you in the land of those who took them captive, saying, we have sinned and we have done wrong and committed wickedness, and when they turn to you with all their heart and with all their soul, and they pray to you toward this land which you gave to their fathers, then hear in heaven, your dwelling place, their prayer. Hear their supplication and maintain their cause and forgive your people who have sinned against you, and so on. Okay, those were the words of Solomon. Daniel read those words. Daniel prayed toward the temple, or toward the place of the temple that Solomon had built. Now Joel says, consecrate a fast. He says, call a sacred assembly. Summon the people together to the house of the Lord to cry out to the Lord to spare, to restore, and to show mercy. Daniel acted, okay? Daniel did what the word of God prescribed. Now, what will we do? Are we going to take Daniel for our model? What will we do in response to struggling lives, a struggling church, a struggling city, and a struggling nation. Are we going to follow the example of Daniel and do what the Word of God prescribes? Or are we going to forget about this another whole week until the subject comes up again next Sunday in the morning sermon? Okay? So I'll have a suggestion in just a minute about what I think is a good thing for us to do. The fourth thing is that Daniel speaks to the Lord in prayer. Okay? He speaks right as though God is present with him, which he is. Okay? When I pray, I am talking to you. I am talking to, not to the God, not to, you know, somebody out there, not to some third party, not an impersonal force, not like the God in black and white on paper, not the God of my ancestors. Okay, we personally, the two of us, have this relationship. And so I know you, and you know me. You know all my quirks. You know my going out and my coming in. You know what I like in my coffee. You know what kind of pillow I like. You know how I brush my teeth and part my hair. Okay, God knows me and I know him. He's my dad, you see? He's my Abba Father. We have a relationship. And when I go jogging with him. And Daniel, when Daniel goes to the office to work for the king, he goes with God. You see, when I eat my dinner, I eat it with God. He's present. He's always present. God is not just the God out there someplace. He is with you and with me, and we speak to him. We ought to be speaking to him as though he is attentive and listening and powerful enough to grant the things that we petition of him, because he's like a father, but greater. Okay, so Daniel speaks to the Lord in prayer. So should we. The fifth one, Daniel affirms, this is very important, Daniel affirms the righteousness of God, and he confesses the unrighteousness of men in everything. Okay? As we, my friends, as you and I, go over in our minds, go over our troubles and the calamities that befall us in our personal lives, in our church, in our city, etc. Okay? We need to do what Daniel does here, and that is acknowledge that God's ways are always good and righteous. If there is blame to be placed, it is to be placed on men. On men. God's given us the law. He's given us the gospel. It says in Deuteronomy, I've set before you life and death. Now choose life. His ways are good. He hasn't hidden from us the way to immortality, the way to a blessed life. Okay, so when bad things happen to us, it's not because God is being unfair to us. Do you see? Which isn't to say that everything that bad that happens to you is a punishment. Not necessarily everything is a punishment, but it's never unjust on God's part. However, we do have to be very open and honest, and we have to confess plainly that sometimes it is the consequences of our own failures and our own sins that is responsible for our own misery. Okay, the pitiful state that we're in is our fault much of the time. If my marriage is causing trouble, it's probably because of sin. Okay, is it not because I'm a self-centered and demanding person? And my spouse is a self-centered and demanding person. And so we have two self-centered, demanding people living side by side 24 hours a day. Yes, there's sin there. There's enough to go around. Or isn't it possibly because, you know, we didn't get married for the right reasons in the first place? If my child is rebellious and wants to have nothing to do with me, have I considered the fact that I've been an overprotective parent or an underprotective parent? I've been a very permissive parent. Hey, I can't just play the blame game and look for who's at fault. I have to examine myself. If a terror attack, another one, happens on the United States, is God being unjust or unfair to us? Daniel says we have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly, and we have rebelled by departing from your precepts and from your judgments. And in verse 6, he says, neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets. Oh, we didn't listen to your word. Turned away from your law, and we didn't listen to those who were warning us to turn to your law. Now, folks, this is going to be fulfilled again if you don't listen to the message of, for example, Joel. Okay? Neither have we heeded your servants, the prophets. Well, here's your opportunity. We're studying the prophets. This is the prophetic word. Return to me with all your heart, with weeping and fasting and mourning. If you don't take upon yourself the yoke of Jesus and set yourself under his authority and set yourself to learn from him and obey his commandments, if you don't, as Peter said the other week, take heed to the prophetic word, and Daniel would agree, why shouldn't God do to you and to me and to us what he did to his people in the Old Testament, and that is send some kind of corrective punishment into your life, into our church, into our city, or into our country? Why shouldn't he? Okay, he says, verse 8, Lord, to us belongs shame of face, to our kings, princes, and fathers, because we've sinned against you. To the Lord, mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. We haven't obeyed the voice of the Lord to walk in his laws, this is verse 10, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. All Israel has transgressed your law, departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, and look at the end of your verse there, Deuteronomy 28. We spent 2 weeks reading Deuteronomy 28. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, have poured out on us. God said he would, and now he has. And lastly, number 6. The 6th thing that Daniel said, that Daniel did, that we also ought to do, and that is that Daniel does not appeal to his own goodness. Okay, he not to his own performance or his being a good Christian or a good Jew. He appeals only to God's mercy. He makes his petition not because he has a bargaining chip. Lord, you know how faithful I have been all my years in Babylon. You know that I have never let anything unclean pass my lips, and so I think I deserve to have this favor back from you. No, nothing like that at all. He comes empty-handed. Okay, verse 16. Lord, according to all your righteousness. Now look, he does make the request. He does pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem. Okay, verse 17, he says, now therefore, O God, hear the prayer of your servant and my supplications, and for your sake, not my sake, for your sake, cause your face to shine on your sanctuary, which is desolate. Well, desolate, it was burned to the ground. It was destroyed. Oh, my God, incline your ear and hear, open your eyes and see our desolations, the city which is called by your name. We don't present our supplications before you because of our righteous deeds. We don't have them. We present our supplications to you because of your great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. Listen and act. Do not delay for your own sake, because we're the people that are called by your name. Now, when we, God's people, go to him with our petitions, we have to go on our face. Not that we deserve anything, dear Father, because we don't. If anything, we deserve more than what you punished us with. But because of your great name, let your compassion return to us, because you see what a miserable state we're in. Okay, take your misery from the hand of God. If it has come because of your sin, well, admit it and confess it. Okay, Lord, you're righteous. I haven't obeyed your law. I haven't listened to your prophets. If that's true, say so. Maybe the thing is a punishment from God, and maybe it's not. But instead of playing the blame game, or instead of plotting your revenge, or instead of planning your comeback, do these 6 things. Search God's word. Believe what you see. Act on God's word. Speak to the Lord personally. Acknowledge his righteousness and justice and goodness in everything, and appeal to his mercy, not because of what we deserve, but because of your grace. Now, we need to close. Sorry for going long. Your homework, I'm going to give you homework for this week. I want you to read 3 chapters of the Bible, and I'll tell you which 3. One of them is this chapter, Daniel 9. Okay? Don't bother with the stuff at the end about the 70 weeks. Daniel 9. The other chapter is Ezra 9 and Nehemiah 9. Okay, they're all 9s. You can remember Ezra 9, Nehemiah 9, Daniel 9. Okay? Write that down. Read those 3 chapters and 2 verses out of Joel. Chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. Hey, that's where we are in the book of Joel. I want to provide some opportunities for us as a church. I want to take some opportunities for us as brothers and sisters to come together and do what the Lord says in the scriptures to do. Gather yourselves, he says, humble yourselves, search and confess your sinful ways, resolve again to turn to the Lord and ask him to spare and to restore and to bless. So in order to do that and to give us opportunities to do that, for the next 2 weeks, that is until Easter, I'll be coming on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. I will come and open the doors of the church here from 11 to 2, and we can pray. Just come if you have the chance, not to all six, or you can come to all six, but that's six opportunities between now and Easter, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, from 11 to 2. The doors will be open. We can read a little scripture. I don't want this to be a gimmick. I don't want you to come just because you want to support the pastor. I want you to come if you want to pray. Okay? Come like, and then the last one, the second Friday, that's Good Friday. So we'll do it from 12 to 3 instead of 11 to 2. Okay? Come like you would come to a Good Friday service. Pop in for a half an hour, for 40 minutes, for an hour if you like. If you really want to stay 3 hours, praise God. But it's something that we ought to do together. Do you see? Together. Come to the Lord. Come to break your heart before the Lord. And let's see what he says to us. Shall we do it? I think we should. The scripture gives us this promise that the eyes of the Lord rove to and fro through the earth, that he might show himself mighty on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. Okay? We can take hold of that promise. So come to the house of the Lord. Let us seek his face together and ask for his blessing. Lord God, just hear the words of our hearts. We pray that you will grant us our request. We want something. We want your blessing, Lord. We want to seek your face. We want to come on our knees confessing our sin. And Father, we just thank you for your great mercy toward us. It is not because we have anything to boast about, only a God who loves the weak. So Father, hear the prayers of our hearts right now for Jesus' sake. Amen.